And welcome back to MTG Eternities. I'm your host, Carl. Now, we only had two major tournaments happen over the weekend, and we'll get to those shortly. What I first want to talk about, though, is a question that I overheard at my local game store, and that is Settle the Wreckage modern playable? Settle the Wreckage is a 4-drop, instant, 2-white, 2-colorless spell. It reads effectively as, target player exiles all attacking creatures they control. Then that player may search their deck for that many basic land cards. They put them into play tapped, and they shuffle their library afterwards. Effectively, it is a path to exile on a much grander scale. I think the card's great for standard, but since the question was raised, is this good for modern, it made me think, what does this necessarily replace, if anything, in modern? Path to Exile is obviously extremely playable in modern, so giving an opponent lands in modern isn't that big of a deal. Again, depending on the deck, of course. Settle the Wreckage does that in spades. And on turn 4, if everything goes accordingly, or if you don't hit any ramp, let's just imagine we don't have any ramp on the field. We're playing this on turn 4 in response to somebody attacking us. Since it doesn't target, it gets around all the hexproof, and since it exiles, it gets around anything that necessarily would come back and play upon death, like Undying, or let's say it's a Boggle with one of the Umbras on it that has Totem Armor. Pretty effective overall, I would say, especially since it also gets around indestructibility. If your opponent plays something with indestructibility on turn 4. And since it doesn't target, it might even get rid of other bigger things. Like Emrakul, the Aeon's Thorn, it doesn't target. If upon Annihilator trigger for whatever reason you haven't died, it'll get rid of Emrakul. Not a bad trade-off when you think about it. Again, provided you have that much mana to spare. Or you had that much of a board presence to spare upon Annihilation trigger. But going back to what Settle the Wreckage would replace, I think I've narrowed it down to the three biggest Wrath spells in Modern, of course. And those are Supreme Verdict, Wrath of God, and Damnation. So right off the bat, we could already eliminate Damnation. Settle the Wreckage and Damnation won't see play in the same deck, or at least shouldn't see play in the same deck. Damnation's generally a Jund card or an all-black card. Black's not going to want to replace Settle the Wreckage for this, so we could eliminate that. Then you see Supreme Verdict and Wrath of God. I believe there's an argument for Settle the Wreckage replacing either one of these spells in a control shell or in something like Death and Taxes or other control style decks. Again, a small argument. I want to initially compare this to Wrath of God. Settle the Wreckage versus Wrath of God effectively does the same thing. If your opponent swings all out in an Alpha Strike, you're going to get rid of their Alpha Strike. Yes, you're going to thin out their deck, but you don't have to worry about them Alpha Strike. And since it's exiled, any creature with regenerate is not going to matter. Indestructible or hexproof, they're not going to matter. It does save you in that situation. Yes, you still have to hold up your mana, but you'd have to do the same thing for Wrath of God. You, with Wrath of God being, of course, you generally want there to be a slightly large board presence. And if something with regeneration is on the field, then Wrath of God does obviously matter. Because most of the time, there aren't a lot of regen creatures in Modern. I think the biggest regeneration creatures, Thrun the Last Troll. I can't really think of any other ones that come to mind. I would say Golgari Grave Troll, but that got banned. I see a deck occasionally run Lotlith Troll, and that's like a rare occasion. I can't really say that with certainty that the regeneration part of Wrath of God matters too often. If it does, then obviously you get the person who has regeneration, you just destroyed the regen creature. But for the most part, those creatures get to go to the grave. Now, when Wrath of God does lose out in this case, is let's say you're versing an Unburial Rites deck, or you're versing some deck that plays off graveyard. You just sent all these creatures to grave. In this case, let's compare Wrath of God to Settle the Wreckage versus a Dredge deck. All the Dredge creatures just died to Wrath of God. Most of those creatures have landfall triggers, or they have enter the battlefield triggers from just playing a creature in their hand, or milling a creature, something like that. So they're going to get all those creatures back. Settle the Wreckage versus a Dredge deck, you exile all their creatures in an Alpha Strike. Those creatures aren't coming back. They're not getting the value from that. Yes, they just possibly thinned out their deck a little bit more. But at that same token, you don't have to worry about X amount of creatures coming back to swing at you. So I would say versus Wrath of God, Settle the Wreckage can be argued as better in some cases, if not most cases. Now versus Supreme Verdict, I think there's a clear, definite 50-50. If you're playing a blue-white control shell, obviously you want Supreme Verdict. You don't want something to be countered. Settle the Wreckage does lose out on that. And the only time Supreme Verdict loses out is if there's a Thrun to the Last Troll on the field, or if there's another major regen creature I'm forgetting about on the field. Because, obviously, that's when you want Wrath of God, or that's when you want Settle the Wreckage. But, to tomato-tomato in this case. Supreme Verdict, I do think, in Modern is arguably the best Wrath spell if you can splash the blue. Compare that to Settle the Wreckage, of course, and you have a strong 50-50 argument. I do think the card deserves testing in Modern. Obviously, you want to find the right deck for it, and you want to find a deck that can abuse the ability rather well. I did mention Death and Taxes earlier, and yes, Death and Taxes versus a Settle the Wreckage isn't the best opportunity, but it is a lockdown opportunity. So with Settle the Wreckage, Death and Taxes often runs Leon and Arbiter, so now upon exiling your opponent's entire board state, they also have to pay two to search their deck. And that's per Leon and Arbiter on the field. Sometimes the Death and Taxes deck run Aven Mind Sensor too, so even if they pay the two, they can only search the top four of their deck with Aven Mind Sensor on the field. So I do think that there could be argument for Settle the Wreckage, sideboard, even mainboard in some decks. And granted, Death and Taxes does use Thalia, but I think if you're able to get rid of Thalia any way possible, or for whatever reason you don't always hit Thalia, I do think Settle the Wreckage can find a place in that. Or it could find place in the blue-white control shell, or it could find place in other different sort of shells. You even look at it playing against, let's say, another big Modern deck right now, Eldrazi Tron. Settle the Wreckage exiles all their Eldrazis on the battlefield. So it exiles all their Thought Knots, all the Reality Smashers, all their Mattery Shapers. They're all exiled. They don't die. So you don't have to worry about half their triggers. You don't have to worry about having to pay another one to deal with Reality Smasher. Even with a card like Reality Shaper, you just exiled it, so you don't have to worry about that death trigger. And the Thought Knot Seer, for whatever reason, let's just say you top decked the Settle and Wreckage, they didn't Thought Seize it out of your hand. Well, now their Thought Knot Seer is gone, so you get to draw another card. Plus, the deck as a whole doesn't run a lot of wastes. It runs maybe two. I've seen a deck run three on occasion. So you're not going to end up excelling them a lot, beyond, of course, what they've already excelled themselves beyond. So I think it can be argued that Settle the Wreckage could find a place in Modern. Will it? Again, it does require a lot of testing, but I'm leaning towards yes, that it is a very Modern playable card when you look at it. I would love to see a blue-white control list running a couple of this just to test it out, just to see how it does. In fact, I might run it at my next Modern event at my local game store just to see if I'm on the right page, just to see if Settle the Wreckage is as good as I think the card is. If it does well, I'll be happy to let you guys know. I think Settle the Wreckages are about $6. It is, of course, the best Wrath spell in Standard right now, and it stands to make an argument for Modern by the look of it. I would also be happy to know what you guys think. Is Settle the Wreckage Modern playable? If it is, let me know in the comments section down below, and let me know your reasons for this card either being A, playable in Modern, or B, not playable in Modern. Let me hear your reasons why or why not in the comments section down below. So moving right along, I want to talk about the first major tournament, of course, and that is the Worlds event that happened. It was a 24-player World event, so there wasn't a huge pool to select from, obviously, when it comes to Worlds. But the four decks that topped Ford in this case were Timur Energy, Red Deck Wins, and two Dimir Control-style decks. Now, what I want to focus on reviewing right now is the Dimir Control deck. In this case, it'd be the third-place Dimir Control deck that I want to focus more on. Since we do have two to choose from, they're both rather similar lists. I just chose the one that had the better percentage out of the two. Anyways, the deck list in a whole is pretty self-explanatory for control list. You have 26 lands. You're running, in this deck, 4 Drowned Catacomb, 1 Evolving Wild, 4 Fetid Pool, 7 Island, 1 Submerged Boneyard, 8 Swamp. Overall, not a bad start to lands. The biggest adjustment I personally would make for this deck is Submerged Boneyard. I'm not a huge fan of the card. You're already running 8 sources and a fetch land to help thin out the deck or get whatever color you need at that given time. So instead of Submerged Boneyard, I'd actually be running a 1 of Field of Ruin in this place. And the reason being for this is Search for Azcanta is a huge pain right now. The card went from $5 overnight to a $40 foil, which I do find rather entertaining. Again, I mentioned last week I got a couple of them, and I've already traded them off for some pretty good value. There are other lands, of course, that you could necessarily hit. You could hit other fixing lands that your opponents have. Search for Azcanta is not the biggest threat. It is a card that you don't necessarily have to worry about in the mirror match, and that's something that I personally enjoy. Plus, Field of Ruin does stifle the approach of the second Sun deck just a little bit, just for the sheer fact that Field of Ruin's ability is not a may, an opponent must search. So when you destroy one of their lands, you force them to shuffle, so you possibly force them to shuffle away their win condition. They draw six and are about to draw approach on their next turn. Hit one of their basics, force them to shuffle the deck, even if it's a fail to find. Doesn't matter at that point. You just made their win condition a little bit harder to come by, thus dragging the game out a little bit more. Going away from the land base a little bit on this deck, though, I'm going to hit up the creatures. The creatures are really self-explanatory. It's stuff that we've seen before. This creature package is 3 Scarab God and 2 Torrential Gear Hulk. Why they came to this particular number, I'm not 100% on. I personally would like to do either 3 and 3 or something like that, but this person went with 3 and 2. It's hard to really mention or say anything really on Gear Hulk or Scarab God. We've talked about them on the show before. Gear Hulk's just an amazing card. It's fat caster, and Scarab God can steal whatever your opponent's playing, so there's not much more to be said. They're both amazing cards, and they're pretty much the reason why you win as Jameer Control. Going on to the instant and sorceries, though, however, you have a 3 of Censor in this deck, 3 of Disallow, 2 of Essence Extraction, 4 of Essence Scatter, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Glimmer of Genius, 2 Supreme Will, and 3 of Vraska's Contempt. Now, the instant sorcery package is, again, fairly similar to most what Black Blue's running right now. The new card that Black Blue's kind of managed to put into it is Essence Extraction. It is 2 black, 1 colorless. Instant. Deal 3 damage to target creature, gain 3 life. Now, it is a form of removal, but this card is mainly in there to help prolong them against the red deck wins matchup. It is a card, in my opinion, that should have been seeing standard play for quite some time, and now that we have a more successful black-blue deck, I think the card's definitely starting to see a little bit more play. The 3 of Vraska's Contempt's main board also helps stave off the red deck wins. It's also there against planeswalkers that make it to main board. It's there for gods that make it to main board. All in all, a very good card. Most of the rest of the cards are pretty self-explanatory for the list. You'll notice that in this particular version, though, he is not running Negate's main. Instead, he's choosing to run 4 of Essence Scatters, which is perfectly fine for this current meta. You're either playing against a combo deck in Approach of the Second Sun, or you're playing against a control deck or an aggro deck. Generally, with an aggro deck, you don't want them to hit any of their creatures. You don't want Timur to hit any of their creatures. You don't want Red Deck Winds to hit any of their creatures. All in all, this is a control package that we've seen before and will continue to see for quite some time, at least till Rivals of Ixalan appears, or at least until Aether Revolt and Kaladesh cycle out of standard. The deck is also running 4 of Enchantments. It's running a 2 of Aether Meltdown, which I thought was kind of interesting. The deck doesn't use energy, but it's just mainly using it there to make a creature -4 attack, and the enchantment does have flash, so you're gonna end up nuking one of their creatures or severely damaging one of their creatures to making it not as useful. And the 2 Search of Azkanta is just a card to help dig you further, especially considering this deck's running a lot of lands. The deck also, upon flipping Search for Azkanta, allows it to impulse on a regular basis. It's going to dig 4 cards deep. With Search for Azkanta, you're going to put 3 to the bottom of your library and 1 into your hand. It has to be a non-creature, non-land card. I do like Search for Azkanta. In this deck, considering the creatures are your main win con, and if you're trying to dig for creatures, it's not the best of solutions. It's still not a bad card, all in all. It does have its issues, but it's useful in the deck, and that's something I do enjoy. Now, we want to look at the sideboard of this deck, and you're running a 1 of Argyle's Blood Feast, a 1 of Bantu's Last Reckoning, 1 of Doomfall, 4 Duress, 2 Essence Extraction, 3 Gifted Aetherboard, 1 Gonti Lord of Luxury, and 1 Negate. Now, the 2 cards I want to definitely point out in this particular build are the Argyle's Bloodfast and the Bantu's Last Reckoning. Now, with Argyle's Bloodfast, you're drawing more cards off of it and taking 2 life. Now, that's not bad, but I have a feeling that it's more or less the flip section that they were using this card for, and that's when they get below 5 life, Argyle's Bloodfast flips, and it's going to flip into something that produces a swamp, and it's going to flip into something that you can sack a creature that you control to gain X life, where X was, I believe, its toughness. That's not bad when you have the Scarab God and you've had a creature that's surpassed its usefulness and is about to die. So you move to block, before damage happens, you sack the creature, gain its toughness, effectively fogging and gaining some life, which isn't terrible. I just can't really see this card seeing too much play, to be honest. Just in this particular build, there's not enough creatures for me to see value off of this, and I know that they're probably using it to dig and draw cards in a control matchup, which isn't bad, but at the same time, it's just really slow for me. I'd much rather see this in a deck we're going to talk about here in a minute as our next focus. Bantu's Last Reckoning is really good. When you look at Bantu's Last Reckoning compared to Agrayo's Blood Feast, it's going to destroy Timur, it's going to destroy Red Deck Winds, it's going to destroy whatever you try to play against it. It's not a bad card. The only problem here, of course, is your lands don't untap, but late in the game, this isn't a bad draw, especially when you're on the ropes and you're about to die. It's not something that I'm going to regret seeing a lot. Even early game, if I could wrath my opponent's board and kill all their stuff, it's not bad. Doomfall, again, is of course, is just a pretty decent card right now. Duress and Negate are self-explanatory. The two more Essence Extractions, of course, are there against Mono Red. They're really good. Gifted Aetherborn's another card they're going to bring in against Mono Red or something that's super aggressive. And the Gonti Lord of Luxury is just not a bad control card. All in all, a very solid list with Dimir Control. I will quickly mention that I am playing Dimir Control currently in Standard. This isn't my list, obviously, because I didn't make the top 8 in Worlds, or top 4 in this case. I am running something, I would say, fairly similar. I do have some checks and different things that I'm running in this case, some adjustments, but it is very similar to the list that I am doing. And if my list continues to proceed as it has been lately, I will gladly show you my list. I'll post it up on Tap Out or something like that. You could check out the list for yourself if that's something that you're interested in. The next tournament I want to talk about is MTGO Top 8's tournament for Standard. So this one, we actually do have a top 8 list to look at, and we have more of a pool when it comes to the overall players involved in this online tournament to look at. So in first place for this online tournament, we have Timur Energy, followed by a Tokens deck, followed by Red Deck Winds, three more Timur Energy decks, and finishing off the list at 7 and 8 respectively are two more Tokens lists. Now, with this particular tournament, I mentioned a word that I haven't mentioned in a long time in Standard, and that is Tokens. Tokens is making an effective comeback in Standard right now, and I'm kind of excited for it. Tokens was my first Modern deck back when Modern was getting big in 2015, 2014. That was my first Modern deck, was the Modern event deck list with Elspeth and stuff like that. So I do have a special affinity for Tokens. Of course, I have since moved on because there are better Modern decks out there, but that doesn't mean that I won't always have a special place for Tokens in my heart. In fact, with my first major Modern tournament, actually, I took 32nd place using a Tokens list, and that's something I'm quite proud of, actually. But that aside, I do want to look at the Tokens list that was at the MTGO Online tournament. In this case, I want to focus more along the lines of the second place Tokens deck. So this particular build of Tokens used 23 lands. It's using 4 Concealed Courtyards, 4 Evolving Wilds, 1 Forest, 2 Ifnir Deadlands, 6 Plains, 4 Shafit Dunes, and 2 Swamp. A very solid land base when you look at it. The Evolving Wilds are there, of course, to trigger Revolt with Revolt things. They're there for digging for the Forest or the Plains or the Swamp when they need them. All in all, very good card. I can't really complain about the token land base. It is also very similar to the Dimir style deck in that it is not running a lot of creatures. It's running 6 creatures in total. It's running 4 of Anointer Priest and 2 of Sacred Cat. The only reason I'm thinking they're running Sacred Cat is it's just a way to stave off Red Deck Winds. You're going to get life gain off one block, or you're going to start swinging to prevent some damage, which isn't too bad. Then you're going to embalm it and continue to do so. The Anointer Priest is also there for the life gain should they need it, which is, again, not too bad. It's running a total of 8 instants and sorceries. It's running a 4 of Fatal Push, which I already stated. That's the secondary reason why Evolving Wilds is there, is to trigger Fatal Push. So now Fatal Push is going to go and revolt and destroy a 4-drop. And it's running a 4 of Fumigate for the additional life gain. Now, Fumigate is a fairly decent card, especially when you can Fumigate against Timur Control and gain a lot of life. Or if you're behind and need it, you can Fumigate your board plus your opponent's board and gain more life. All in all, not bad. It's running 16 enchantments total, 4 Anointed Procession, which the deck is effectively running off of. When they embalm the Sacred Cat, they're going to get 2 Sacred Cats. When they embalm Anointed Priest, they're going to get 2, trigger it doubly, so on and so forth. It's running a 4 of Cast Out just as a solid removal piece, a 4 of Hidden Stockpile. Again, you're triggering the Revolt with this, getting Servos, and anointed processions triggering off this, giving you double servos, and legions landings there also to give you late game benefits with more creatures that have lifelink, stuff like that. It's running a 4 of Renegade map as a final card to trigger Revolt should it need it, and is just an additional way to make their land base work out. The final card in this deck, of course, is a 3 of Raska's Relic Seeker. You were probably wondering what that forest was in there for, and that one of forest, of course, is for the Vraska Relic Seeker. If you're not familiar with what she does, she's pretty good. Her plus 2 is going to put out a little 2/2 pirate with menace. If you have Anointed Procession out, it's going to put out 2 pirates. Vraska's second ability, of course, is a neg 3 that destroys target artifact, creature, enchantment. Upon doing so, you're going to end up getting a treasure token. If you have Anointed Procession out, you double this trigger, so you get 2 free mana, which isn't too bad. This will also enable Revolt in the long run, or it's going to help you embalm cards from the grave. It's a really good card in the long run. Vraska's final ability, of course, is her neg, which is going to put an opponent to 1. So if you have some Menace Pirates out, or if you have more tokens than your opponent can deal with, it's an easy game. I really like tokens. I'm actually rather surprised this person's not running a few more token generators. It just seems like Anointed Procession would work a little bit better off that. But they're running enough control main that I really can't question it. This person top 2'd an MTGO online event, which is nothing to scoff at for most people. I can't say I know a lot of people actually that have topped an MTGO online event, to be honest. If you want to look at the side of this deck, you're running 2 Angel of Sanctions. For those who don't know, it's a 5-drop, 3/4 flyer that O-rings something. You embalm it, Anoint Procession happens, and now you O-ring 2 things. It's running a 2 of Argyle's Bloodfast, which I like a little bit better in this deck because I think you're going to end up losing a lot of life early game just because you're not going to be putting out enough blockers. So this is a way that you can now trigger your stuff late game. Should you need it, you can flip it and then start sacking creatures to gain life. Or if you don't need it and you have enough life, you can start paying 2 and losing 2 life to draw additional cards, which I think is a better use. Argyle's Bloodfast, at least in this deck. You're running a 4 of Duress. Again, we see Duress as a 4 of in all black sideboards right now. You're running a 3 of Essence Extraction, which is there for the better red deck wins matchup. You're running 2 more Sacred Cat in this case, again, for the red deck wins matchup. And the one card I really question here is the Treasure Map. You don't know what Treasure Map does. It's a 2-drop. Pay 1, tap it, scry. Scry trigger. You put the card to their top or to the bottom of the deck. Upon scrying, you put a counter on this thing. Once it has 3 counters, you flip it. As it gets 3 counters, it also poops out 3 treasure tokens. So upon flipping it, you're gonna get a card that draws you cards for every treasure that you sacrifice, or you're gonna get an additional 1 mana. So I get the reason why they're using this card. It's there to get more treasure tokens, and then Anointed Procession is gonna double those treasure tokens should they need it. So it's a 6 cards I could freely draw in theory. It's just, I think that there could have been better things in this position that weren't Treasure Map. It just seems like an odd choice of card to me. I don't know what, maybe like Gifted Aetherborn or just something else. I'd even settle for the black Gearhulk or the white Gearhulk. Just something a little bit more with oomph in it. I don't know. It just seems out of place considering the rest of the deck. But again, this person topped 8 an MTGO online event, which I can't complain about. There were 3 other token decks that topped 8. So tokens is definitely something I think most people need to look out for. Another card I wouldn't mind seeing in this list actually is Angel of Invention. Angel of Invention is Flying, Vigilance, Lifelink, and then she has Fabricate 2. So she's either going to give everything +1/+1 and be a 4/3 flyer, which if you choose not to fabricate Angel of Invention, she's going to poop out 2 little 1/1 servos, and then her Anthem effect is going to make all your creatures +1/+1 in addition. So those servos then become 2/2s, which isn't too bad. I like to think of her as an additional bomb in the deck, and as I mentioned, and I do like to make my tokens bigger. You do have Shipfet Dunes in this deck doing that temporarily, because it is a one-time thing, because you're going to have to sack the dunes, get enough mana to sack the dunes again, or sack another desert to do so. And with her, I feel as though, yes, there's a lot of removal in format, but if you're able to get her to stick, she's going to be harder to deal with Anthem effect, which is why I think more often than not, you'd want to fabricate the 2 onto her, make her a bit larger of a body to deal with, and that way she's not as easy to take down. And it just seems like this deck is really good, especially with Vraska. I think that's obviously the main win con here, is you're using Vraska, you're pooping out more pirate tokens, and you're more than likely winning with the pirate tokens because they have menace, than compared to, say, your servos or other cards within the deck. This is a control style deck, of course, using the Fumigate and Fatal Pushes and the cast outs, of course. The Legion's Landings are there to control the early game and help you gain life or stave off red deck wins. The Anointed Processions are there to double your tokens. And then the Anointed Priests and Sacred Cats are there again to stave off red deck wins decks. So this guy's going to go ho on Vraska Relic Seeker, which isn't a bad strategy. Again, she's an amazing card, and out of the three walkers right now that came out with Ixalan, she is the one seeing play. But again, that's just a thought. It could be that I'm wrong on how this person win, but that just seems like the obvious way to me, is just Vraska your way to win game. Which, obviously, it worked up until the last match for Timur Energy. Maybe they got mono screwed or something. There are a bunch of things that can happen on MTG Online. For all we know, they disconnected last minute and couldn't get back on or something. They could have taken the whole tournament. At that same time, you never know. There's a reason why I don't do MTGO very often. Those are the things I actually wanted to hit today. I wanted to pass on that question to you guys. I wanted to hit you up with those two standard decks and get your guys' thoughts on them. I think, all in all, it was a very solid week of Magic, and hopefully it will continue to go into another solid week. I want to quickly mention that I am coming up with deck lists for Oklahoma, just like some modern deck lists that I think will do well. I'm currently tinkering around with Tron, I'm tinkering around with Elves, I'm tinkering around with other Tier 1, Tier 2 decks just to see what works and what doesn't. And I'll keep you guys posted on that as it goes along. Another thing I want to mention, that is, this is the last day for the contest. Next week I will be announcing a winner. I didn't have a lot of people enter this contest, so it's a very small pool of people. But maybe for the next contest, I'll get something a bit different and it'll draw more people's interest for it. It has been a fun couple of weeks, though, running this contest and seeing what people catch on to the idea of MTG Eternity. So it gives me a good idea of how many people are out there. And I thank you for everyone who's been listening so far. And thank you to the new listeners I get every day. It's been a joy. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and leave you guys today, and make sure you pay attention to next week's winner, and keep up with me via Twitter at MTG Eternities, YouTube at MTG Eternities, that sort of thing, especially if you want to keep up to date on all the goings of me as a channel, me as a podcaster, everything. So just remember, all lines of thought are open for all Magic Seekers. This is your host from MTG Eternities, signing out.